Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we might present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And we didn't launch a vision for the year, you know, all of the great things that we were going to do, but we launched a question. And it's a question that we launched publicly, but it's a question we've actually been wrestling with as church leadership team and in our various leadership forums for a whole year or more. And we basically have taken this verse and turned it into a question, because we think that this is critical. And if you can put up the question, thanks. This is what we've, how we worded it. What might it look like for us to help more people become a bit more like Christ with God's wisdom and energy? And we've crafted a question because it's something that you can ask continually, and you can get fresh answers for every day. And it's not something that we have to have a vast number of people to be able to do. You can just ask and answer it for yourself, or you can ask and answer it for your family or your small group or a community group or even our church gatherings like this. We can ask and answer these questions. What might it look like for us to help a few more people become a bit more like Christ with God's wisdom and energy? And it can seem like a bit of a weird question, right? But here's the thing. Where else are you going to go in this world to become a bit more like Jesus? I mean, there's lots of places you can go for community. There's lots of places you can go for singing. There's lots of places you can go for food. There's lots of places you can go for community service. There's lots of places you can go for lots of different things. But where do you go to become a bit more like Jesus? Where can you go to get help to become a bit more like Jesus? You see, if we think about church, you say, well, we want the church to grow, or we want to get the church to be better or whatever. Well, we think, okay, what we need to do is we need to do a better service, or we need to do better community meals, or we need to do better things, right? But they are like surface things. Like the worship becomes better, or the Sunday school becomes better, or the small group becomes better. Why? And what's the thing underneath that? And the thing underneath that is helping people become more like Jesus. Because it's worthwhile thinking and pondering on this. Who else would you like people to become like? Got a better idea? I don't. The person who lived the most vibrant, impactful life connected with his Heavenly Father, par excellence. So there's no one better. And the New Testament is about that. Paul, in that verse we read, he's wanting to present everyone fully mature in Christ. And there's a couple of passages in the Gospels where Jesus' disciples, they were his students and he was their teacher. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it says this: the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. The Great Commission, you know, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. People becoming a bit more like Jesus is the whole deal. I mean, you can have fancy screens and lights and air-conditioned buildings and everything else, but if people aren't becoming like Jesus, we've missed it. So here's the... And when we looked at it last month, we looked at the question of, well, how do people actually become followers of Jesus? And in our workshop we did back in February, we got people to reflect on their own stories. And we broke into groups and people shared those stories. And we heard from each other how there were, you know, multiple different people that were involved in our lives that were touch points. And for those who grew up in Christian homes, it was parents and maybe Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders and ministers and people like that. For those of you who came from a non-religious background, it was a friend at university who invited you to something, or someone else who sat down and spoke with you and helped process the questions that you had about what is God all about. Maybe you went on a conference or a camp, or there's other significant things, but most of us, it's multiple people coming in contact with us and helping us process the questions and discovering more about Jesus till we get to the point where we say, yes, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. And having recognized that, the challenge for us is then, well, how are we that for other people who don't yet know Jesus? I mean, if we became followers of Jesus because there were people in our lives, then how are we making ourselves available to non-believers so that they might be able to have the benefit of that from us, just as we receive that benefit from others? That's why we do community meals. That's why we encourage us people to do things in small groups and with neighbours and friends, because we want to have a wide edge, lots of points of contact where those sorts of things that were significant in your and my journeys might happen in other people's journeys as well. But there'll be people who become Christians, and how on earth do you become like Jesus? Because my thinking is that many people don't actually know how it works. And it's clear that people that have become like Christians become like Christ, and you may even see in your own life that, yes, I'm a different person now to what I was, and I've become a bit more like Jesus, but ask me to explain how it happened, and you scratch your head, and you go, I don't know. It's almost like there's some accidental Christ-likeness happening in our lives. It's a mysterious thing. Somehow, I know I'm a bit more like Jesus than I was 10 years ago, but how did it actually happen? Well, I'm not sure. And that's what we're going to try and unpack this morning. And it's not just about information. Those of you who have a few grey hairs will know that there used to be a thing called Encyclopedia Britannica. And there used to be people that used to go around knocking on doors of family saying, would you like to buy this encyclopedia set? And some of you may have even grown up with an Encyclopedia Britannica set. I think we had another encyclopedia set at our house. I can't remember the name of it, but the Britannica ones were like thick and red-bound hardcover encyclopedias, and these other ones that we had were different to that. And for those of you who are born in the last 25 years, you go, what's that? Because in the internet age, we live in a information-rich environment. You can basically get access to information about anything, from how to unblock a toilet to nuclear science, for free, as long as you're connected to the internet. But you see, information doesn't make us like Jesus. If you just think about the number of cat videos people would have seen, that everyone would be experts at caring for cats. But just learning the information does not make you that. Learning information about Jesus does not make you like Jesus. In fact, it's true about anything. Learning information does not transform you. You only get transformed when you take action on the information. Information plus action leads to transformation. Just think about it. You go to the doctor and you get some information about your health condition. And then the doctor gives you a prescription. And you go away and you buy the drugs and you start taking them and you have transformation. The information plus action leads to the transformation. You watch a YouTube video about how to ride a bike. You can watch hours and hours of it if you want. But you don't actually get transformed into a bike rider until you actually get a bike and you get on it and you wobble down the footpath a little bit. And it's exactly the same with becoming like Jesus. It's a pattern of revelation and response. Revelation and response. And before you think, oh, this is about, somehow earning your salvation. No, it's not. You might get it, sort of fall into a hole of thinking about this. God says this, so I've got to do that, or I've got to do that so God's pleased with me, or whatever else. No, it's not about that. It's about living out of grace. If you suddenly find that you have inherited $10 million, then you can begin to act out of the truth of that. And you can pay off your mortgage, and you can buy houses for your kids, and you can tithe to missions. You can do all sorts of things because you're acting on the information that you have received. And when we recognize that God gives us new life and he says this is the way you can live, we act out of the grace of it to become like that. It's always acting out of God's gracious gift. It always stems from God. We're not doing these things because we need to do them to get to heaven. We get to do them because this is the life God offers us. And there's no better alternative. And you can see it all through the Gospels. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near." That's the revelation. And now the suggested response: repent and believe the good news. Change your thinking, go in a different direction, act on the basis that what I've told you is true. And then a few verses later, Jesus is by the lake and he says, "Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people." That's the revelation. Then the response: at once they left their nets and followed him. And then Jesus had a healing revival in the town of Capernaum, and the disciples thought that we're going to do rinse and repeat, we're going to do the same today as we did yesterday, and they go and try and find Jesus in the morning because he's out praying somewhere. And later on in Mark chapter 1, Simon and from verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Revelation. So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Response. Every bit of unconscious Christ-likeness that has come about in your life has come about from this pattern. Whether you understood it or not. That's some of the power of it. So if you just unconsciously come to church and been around church and you've heard the sermons preached and the Bible read and people prayed for, and you just sort of absorb it, and then the person next to you is doing this, so you sort of start to doing that as well. You haven't consciously done the revelation and response bit, but you have done it and it has changed you. And so there's lots of unconscious, or if you like, accidental transformation that's happened. It's not really accidental, because God is working in your life to complete the work. So when we're entering into this, it's not something that we are generating, but we are joining. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Now, when you go through school, you don't necessarily understand why the teachers do the things that they do. And it's similar for me through university. I went through my engineering degree and I didn't really... I knew I was learning information about, you know, materials and chemistry and thermodynamics and all sorts of things like that, which I've mostly forgotten now. But I got to the end of my four-year engineering degree and I was speaking to one of the lecturers and he said, "You know what our course is about? Our course is about helping you to become the sort of person that thinks like an engineer." That was the core thing that they were trying to get out of 4 years of lectures and tutorials and experiments and pracs and playing 500 at lunchtime and whatever else we did in our engineering degree. To become the sort of people that think like engineers. That was the deep thing. That was underlying all of it. I wish I'd known that at the beginning, because I could have entered into that process more intentionally. I could have cooperated in that process more fully and moved from unconscious transformation to conscious transformation. And that's the benefit for me, that when I'm aware of how God works in my life, I can cooperate with God more fully. Okay, that's the direction we're going in, God. Cool, I understand the process. I'm going to embrace it and go with you, rather than sort of wandering around in a daze, bumping in the, I'm sort of vaguely going the right direction, but I don't know. But it's even more important when it comes to helping other people. How can you help someone become like Christ if you don't actually understand the process? But here's the really simple process. We just help people with revelation and response. Now, we don't have to be the theologian or the Bible teacher or whatever else. We've just got to be helpers on the side. Remember, God's doing God's work in people's lives. Maybe we can be a bit like a midwife helping the new life come to birth. But we're not doing it, we're just helping. So what we're going to do next week in the workshop, and something you might like to do between now and then, is I want you to reflect back on your life and see somewhere how you've become a bit more like Jesus. And see if you can find the revelation and response pattern that happened. Now you might think, David, well, sometimes God just zaps people and all of a sudden they get changed. Right? And I just want God to do that. I don't want the sort of slow and gentle process. I just want the zapping. Well, that's entirely up to God if God does the zapping process. But maybe the most profound zapping was the day of Pentecost, right? But that was a revelation and response thing too. Because Jesus had said before his ascension, you will receive, wait in Jerusalem, you will receive power. And so what did they do? They waited in Jerusalem until they received power. So the response is not sometimes always frenetic activity. Sometimes it's stopping activity. Sometimes it's waiting. But it is a response of some sort. And so after they'd been waiting for 10 days and they'd been praying during that time, then they received the Spirit. And then they explained it to everybody else. And the revelation was that this isn't just for us, this is for you. Repent and believe the good news and be baptized. And so 3,000 people did. They responded to the revelation and lived it out in transformed community. As described at the end of Acts chapter 2 and the end of Acts chapter 4. But sometimes it's just a long, slow burn. And I've talked about this before, how God, a number of years ago, was challenging me about my gentleness, particularly when I was on hold or talking to people in call centres, trying to work out some entirely unnecessary stuff-up that had happened with some account. And to my shame, I haven't been the most gentle on some of those calls. But there's the verse that says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And so I'm continuing on the journey, and the thing was, the latest sort of insight into that was, it says, let your gentleness be evident. Not act as if you're gentle. Not put on a gentle face, but just whatever gentleness is in you, just let them see it. That's challenging. Because sometimes there's not much gentleness in there. But that's the point. Is not that I act gently towards people, but that I am a gentle person so that if I'm bumped into, that's what comes out of me without me having to think about it. And so that's been and will continue to be an ongoing slow burn process of transformation for me. Because that revelation has then prompted me to pray, God, I need more gentleness. I need more inherent gentleness. Not just like the practiced responses, but the actual inward state. But again, it's a pattern of revelation and response. Revelation and response. Revelation and response. And you and I live in a revelation-rich environment. We just don't necessarily realise it. It's not just the Sunday sermons that we have to wait for the revelation. It can happen anywhere and everywhere. And I've referred to this before, but it's worth repeating so we can really grasp it. In Mark chapters 8 to 10, there's time, moment after moment, where revelation happens. It begins with the disciples going with Jesus on a boat and they've forgotten their lunch. And Jesus talks to them about the teaching of the Pharisees. And then Jesus has a conversation with them about who do people say that I am and who do you say that I am? And they get a revelation about that. And the response, well, you need to follow me and take up your cross. And then a few of them were up on a mountain and they have a religious experience in a prayer meeting. And then they have a conversation with Jesus trying to understand what it meant and what they should do afterwards. And then some disciples were trying to cast out a demon and they failed to do it. Jesus comes and saves the day as he always does. But afterwards, they came inside at the end of Mark chapter 9 and they said to Jesus, why couldn't we do that? If you're ever short of some revelation in your life, Just think of a time when you weren't particularly Christ-like and pray, God, why couldn't I be that? And maybe have a conversation in your small group, why couldn't I be like that? And I'm sure you'll actually start to get some revelation to which you can respond. So it's not just dependent on books and sermons and small groups. Your life is a revelation-rich environment if you just stop to pause and reflect on it and identify the highlights and the lowlights, the successes and the failures, the challenges and the breakthroughs, and say, okay, what's God saying to me in and through this or about that? And what faith-filled step can I do in response? In John chapter 13, Jesus had organised a Passover meal. And we're going to be having communion in a few moments' time. And Claire's just going to get the kids. But someone had organised the room, but when they got there, there was no servant to wash people's feet. And so Jesus got up to wash the disciples' feet from the dusty from the road. This was a revelation-rich environment. It was an opportunity for revelation and response. In chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus, it says, oh, this is of John's Gospel, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed. If you, in the next meal you're at and there isn't someone to wash people's feet, you get up and do it. You'll be blessed if the next time you're in a home or a church situation or whatever else and some menial task needs to be done, Jesus would be the first one to go and do it. So maybe I need to probably be the first person to go and do it. Revelation and response. That's how you have become a bit more like Jesus. That's how you will become more like Jesus. And you don't need to be a super theologian to help other people become a bit more like Jesus. You can just have a conversation and try and help them clarify what's the revelation, what part of God's truth is necessary and pertinent for them at that point. We're not talking about writing new books in the Bible, right? But adult learning works when you have an identified need and then you're open to learning about it. You know? When you can't get your latest post to work on Instagram or whatever, you go and find your grandkid and they'll tell you how to do it. But before you came to the problem, you had no motivation to do it. And so all you can need to do is help us. Well, what might God be saying to you in that from what you know about God? And how might you respond in a step of faith? It's really that simple. We're not trying to become the experts. We're not trying to get people to follow us. We're trying to connect people to Jesus. I want to present everyone perfect to Christ. We're not about becoming some sort of hierarchy. We're just people that are helping the process of Christ-likeness that Jesus is already doing. And so next week, in our workshop time, there'll be a chance for us to share our testimonies of times when we have become a little bit more like Jesus. Not perfect, and the more mundane in some ways, the better, because they're the most frequent ones. And we'll do some other things as well. But now we're going to come to communion. And for those of you that use our Bible reading app, we've been reading through the book of Exodus. And in Exodus 13, it contains information about In fact, in 12 as well, but basically they're instituting a practice of the Passover. Every year at this time, we want you to practice this Passover meal. And communion was instituted in a Passover meal. And the whole point of the Passover meal was that we remember the history of Israel, that God delivered us from the kingdom of Egypt at this time. And when it's, and it says, in the days to come, and this is Exodus 13, verse 40, in the days to come when your son asks you, what does this mean? Actually, a bit further earlier back on, where is it? Back in verse 3 says, Moses said, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt for the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. And they've got a whole process about the food that they would eat. And that was every year to remember their redemption. But then Moses went on and said, in fact, every firstborn animal or whatever, you need to redeem that. That will every firstborn child, you need to redeem that firstborn child. And that would happen regularly through the, I mean, you're in an agrarian society, you know, animals are being born all the time, children are being born all the time, not just in agrarian societies, but all of these things that happen when they're firstborn, they are then had to redeem them. And this was, why do we redeem them? And the explanation was, in the days to come when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. And verse 16, and it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead, that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. And so when we share communion, it's like a sign on our forehead and a symbol on our hand. It's not, I mean, we do a big celebration at Easter coming up in a few weeks' time. And it's great and important that we do that. But at communion, amongst other things, we remember that God brought us out of the kingdom of darkness with his mighty hand, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so we are remembering this morning God bringing us out of the kingdom of darkness with his mighty hand. We're going to share the bread together, which reminds us of Jesus' body broken on the cross. We're going to share the grape juice together, which reminds us of Jesus' blood shed for the establishment of a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And as we renew our focus on this revelation, we can respond by saying, yes, Jesus, I want your life in me. Just as I'm taking this bread and this juice into my body, I'm taking you afresh into my life. Let's pray. Jesus, your death and resurrection is the ultimate revelation of who you are. And we understand that it brings us redemption and release and new life. And we are humbled by that. It's something that we can never reflect on enough or get tired of enough, because there's so much deep power in it. And Lord, as we remember this redemption this morning, make it real for us in fresh ways. Amen.